Today's shir is Masecht Nazir Daf Chaf Aleph. And we will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph at the first words, Tanya Nami Hochi. Just to quickly review what the Gemara said in the previous shir. The Mishnah spoke about a case which we're going to analyze at great length in our shir today, Be'ezer Hashem, where somebody said Hareni Nazir. And another person heard him say that and he said Vani. And then you have another individual saying Vani. So the Gemara quoted a machlokes of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda. In which time frame do the people who are saying Vani have to make their statement? Because we know there's a concept in Halacha of Toich Kedei Dibur, which is the shear of Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So Rabbi Shlakish says, you could only have the time of Shalom Alecha Rebbe to make this declaration of Ani. After that time, it's too late. Rabbi Yehuda gives you a little more time. Rabbi Yehuda says, the time to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, Toich Kedei Dibur, plus it has to be also time to say Vani. And the explanation of the Machlokes is Toich Kedei Dibur is not some sort of a shir. You know, we look at a shir, a kazayis, a kabeya. Toich Kedei Dibur is reality. I hear you say Haredi Nazir. I want to say Vani, that I also want to be a Nazir. And just that minute, my Rebbe approaches me. So I have an obligation to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to give him the time to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, and then say Vani. So that's the machlokes we had of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda. And actually, as the Mefarshim also point out, the Paiskim, it's not that relevant to our Gemara, but it's very relevant in all areas of Halacha. Although the Halacha is that the Halacha views Toich Kedei Dibur as a interruption, as a hefsik, more than Toich Kedei Dibur, less is not a hefsik. No one should make the mistake of believing that when you're not supposed to make a hefsik, you could wait for more than Toich Kedei Dibur. For example, if you're in Mila Psuka de Zimra, after Baruch Shamar, when you're not supposed to speak out. So somebody comes over to you to ask you a question. So people may have the mistake of saying, I'll answer yes or no. Yes or no is less than Toich Kedei Dibur. Certainly that's halachically unacceptable. Besides that, you're not supposed to speak in shul. The Reb Moshe has an interesting tshuva. He says there are people that sometimes, while they're davening Shmon Esrei, they say, it only comes out right in Yiddish, they say, Hele Gebashefer, Rebaita Shalaylam, in the middle of Shmon Esrei. He says that's a hefsik in the middle of the Shmon Esrei, and should not be done. He says, although we've all maybe seen great people who do it, great people, we shouldn't necessarily put ourselves on their level. So says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hochi. There's a braisa, says the Gemara, that corroborates Reish Lakish's opinion. It says in the braisa, Mishamach Hareni Nazir, if somebody says Hareni Nazir, Vishamach Haveroi, Vishak Dei Dibur V'om Vani, you heard me say Hareni Nazir, but you waited the amount of time for the Dei Dibur, and only then you declared your Naziris, the Halacha is, who Aser, the first person who said Hareni Nazir is indeed a Nazir, V'chaveroi is Mutter, because he allowed too much of an interruption to pass. The Kam Kedei Dibur, what is the Shir Kedei Dibur? Kedei Sheila Shalom Talmud L'Rav, as we know throughout Shas. Says the Gemara, Lema Messiah Le, let's perhaps have a Raya from our Mishnah to Reish Lakish's opinion. Because our Mishnah spoke about the following case. Mishama Reini Nazir, somebody declared himself a Nazir, Vishama Chaveroi, and you heard me say it, Vamer Vani Vani. So the Mishnah was very specific in the example it used. Two people had the opportunity to say Hareni Vani. So those two people are Nazirim, and the Mishnah seems to be holding the Sulai. No, not more than two people could join. Now let's understand. Let's first learn the Gemara's question. According to Rebbe, you should have four people. Shalom Alecha Rebbe is three words. And Rebbe said you give him a chance to say the Vani afterwards. It's four words. So the Mishnah should have said Vani four times. Why does the Mishnah say only Vani two times? Isn't that a proof against Rebbe Yehuda's opinion? But what's interesting to note, all the Rishonim make this observation. The Gemara is asking a question on Rebbe Yehuda. We're going to explain the Gemara's teretz in a moment. But we also have a kasha on Reish Lakish. Because according to Reish Lakish, you should have the opportunity to say three Vanis. Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So you should say, Vani, Vani. The Mishnah only says it twice. So why is the Gemara not asking a question on Reish Lakish. So Rishonim and Achronim have a number of answers to this question. One answer is as follows. Rabbi Huda represents a Chiddush, that you could go past the Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Reish Lakish doesn't really represent a Chiddush, because Reish Lakish says, the standard shear you have all over of Shalom Alecha Rebbe is to be applied here. So that's why to Reish Lakish it's not a Chiddush. And that's why it says, it doesn't need to say all three Vanis. But if that's the case, that you don't have to have all three Vanis, so don't say it only twice, say it only once, and you'll get the point. So that they also have two answers. One answer, very simple answer, is if the Mishnah would only say Vani once, I said Hareni Nazar, you said Vani, and then he said Vani, perhaps we would think that the second person's Vani should be considered a hefsik between my Hareni Nazar and his Vani. And therefore, even though it's within the shear, it shouldn't be effective. That's why Rabbi Shlokit says there is no issue of a hefsik. That's one teretz. Another teretz is that we're usually know that there's a machlokes what the shear of Kedei Dibur is. Either Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Yomairi. But there's actually another opinion, that the shear is just Shalom Alecha. So Reish Lakish is telling us, don't make the mistake that it's only Shalom Alecha, it's Shalom Alecha Rebbe, and you have the time for three. But then, there's a wonderful, interesting teretz from the Gvura Thari, Shagas Aryeh. He says like this, we're assuming, in all of our discussion until now, Shalom Alecha Rebbe is three words, and Vani, Hareni Nazar, Vani, and Vani are also, Vani is also three words, so you can have up to three people, according to Reish Lakish. He says, you don't count words, you count letters. Shalom Alecha Rebbe is how many letters? 11 letters. Vani, Vani is how many letters? 12. Each Vani is 4, 4 times 3 equals 12. So he says, according to Reish Lakish, only two people could be Nazirim. Because the third person is going to be going past the time frame. He's going to be saying 12 letters, and Shalom Alecha Rebbe is only 11 letters. And there's a chiddush here. It's really a shaila the Yerushalmi discusses. When we say the shir of Shalom Alecha Rebbe, Toich Kedei Dibur, let's say you began within Toich Kedei Dibur, but you didn't complete your statement. Is it considered Toich Kedei Dibur or not? Clearly, the Gvura Sari holds that it's considered past the shir, according to this teretz, and that's why Reish Lakish will hold, as the Mishnah seems to indicate, only two people. Three people is already one letter, two extra. Then there's another question that Achroinim asked. When we learned Masechta Nedarim, we discussed a neder that's called a neder al das rabin, a neder that's made in public. And the halacha is that a neder al das rabin, although we learned and we're going to discuss it in Mitzvah Shem even in today's shir, a neder could be annulled. A neder al das rabin can never be annulled. So the Mefarshim ask, why didn't the Gemara give a simple teretz? You know why you can't have three vanis? Because then you already have three people. Once the person accepted naziris upon himself in front of three individuals, that naziris cannot be annulled. And our Mishnah clearly speaks about a naziris that is going to be annulled. So from here to Paiskim extrapolate that a neder al das rabin requires 10 people. And three people wouldn't be another das rabim, and that's why the Gemara couldn't give this teretz. But getting back to the Gemara's question, according to Yehuda, that up to four people could say vani, why does our Mishnah only mention two? Answers the Gemara, Tana Kirochla, Lech Shevelezel. The style of the Tana is not to mention so many times the same word. In other words, indeed Rabbi Yehuda says the halacha is up to four people could say vani. The Mishnah only chose to say two because the Mishnah doesn't want to start repeating itself with the same word vani. Says the Gemara, if the Mishnah is trying to avoid using the word ani over and over again, v'lis nichad, he should have only said vani once. V'lashmin and hani, the Mishnah would have, and then we could have extrapolated that as long as it's done within the shear, more people could accept the naziris. Says the Gemara, hakanami, yes, the Mishnah truthfully could have just used the word vani once. However, Mishum Diktani Seifa, Hutra Rishin, Hutra Kulon, the Seifa speaks about a case where there's Kulon. There are more than two individuals. And as we go into the Gemara, we'll understand why the Seifa specifically speaks about an example where more than two individuals are present. And when the Seifa said, Hutra Rishin, Hutra Kulon, Hutra Achman, but if the last person that said his Nazirus was annulled. Ha'achr mutter, he will not be a Nazir. However, it doesn't affect the earlier individuals. Kulan Asurim, they remain a Nazirim. Meklal de'ikam tsoi, that's why the Mishnah speaks about more than one individual. Mishamachi, k'toni v'ani v'ani. Ask the Gemara. Ibailu, a very fundamental question in understanding the Gemara, in understanding our sugi. But before we learn that question, there's another question that the Mefarshim ask. Here we're learning, we just finished learning the sugya of Toich Kedei Dibur. That if you want to be considered uninterrupted from my statement, you have to make your statement Toich Kedei Dibur. The halacha is that in order for a pair, or not just a pair, you can have more than two people, to be considered one set of witnesses, they each have to say testimony Toich Kedei Dibur of the other one. So the question here is, very simple. Witnesses come in. The first guy says his testimony. The second person says his testimony. It's certainly not Toich Kedei Dibur. So how could the Gemara suggest, how could it be effective, and that the Halacha, the Gemara says, Masechta Makis, that if one of those Eidim become disqualified, it's a situation of Eidah Shebatla Muktzasa Batla Kulan. So the first one say a very simple teretz. Our Gemara is referring to a situation where the second person, the third person, only said one word, Vani. The word vani for itself really doesn't have any meaning. So in order for that word to have meaning, we have to rely on what the first person said, who did make a meaningful statement. However, in a situation where a person is saying a full-fledged testimony, there, the halachas of that, of Toich Kedei Dibur, are not that relevant. So now ask the Gemara, Ibailu, had b'chavrei mitzvah, or dumma b'kama mitzvasi? Which means is as follows. I said Hareni Nozer. The next person says Vani, and the next person says Vani. The question is, not the second person, that's obvious. The third person, when he said Vani, whom did he mean to connect himself to? Did he mean to connect himself to the person who was previous to him? Or did he mean to connect himself to me? Lamai Nafkamina. What's Nafkamina regarding this Shaila? But Fusei Umezel. If we just finished learning that you have to have Toich Kedei Dibur, I'amrit chad b'chaveri mitvis, mitvisim ve'ozlan lo'oilam. If we say that the person says vani is always connecting himself just to the person who's previous to him, so we could have 100 people saying vani, as long as he's Toich Kedei Dibur of the person who's before him. However, the amrit mikamit mitvisi, but if we say that everybody's connecting themselves to the original speaker, we can never have a situation of more than two or three vanis, because the fourth person after myself will already be after Kedei Dibur. That's one nafkamina that the Gemara focuses on. The Gemara, the Mefarshim, say there's another nafkamina. Another nafkamina will be as follows. It really is going to be the sugi that we're going to learn. If we're saying that the latter speakers are connecting themselves to the first individual. So if the first individual has his Naziris annulled, all the other people's Naziris will fall with it. But if the person is connecting himself only to the previous person, so if his Naziris stands, the fact that the first Nazir's Naziris is released doesn't have any effect on them. So the Sfas Emes makes two points in helping us frame the Gemara Shaila. One is, our Gemara, he says, is referring to a situation where the later people said Vani, and now we have to try to determine what do they mean with the word Vani. But let's say the person who said Vani is very clear in explaining what he says, whether he says Vani, and I meant the first speaker, or he says I meant the previous speaker, he says the Sfas Emes, the person who makes that the statement always has a right to say that's what I meant, and we will accept his explanation of his action. But then the Sfas Emes says another interesting point. And we actually learned the Gemara this way. He says the Gemara Shaila is only relevant to the third and fourth speaker, because then there we have a choice. Did he mean the previous speaker or the first speaker? But the second one certainly meant the first person. Not everybody agrees with the Sfas Emes learning the Gemara that way. This is the way we're going to learn the Gemara. Tashma. Hareni Nozer. Our Mishnah says, somebody said a rainy nozer. V'ani. The second, the Mishnah only gives us two people saying vani. The sulamidi, but doesn't mention the word ani more than twice. Shmamino, the kamadamitrasi. Isn't this a clear proof that the later people saying vani are connecting themselves to the first speaker? Because the isagadatach, b'chavri mitvis, if we're going to say that anybody who says vani is just connecting himself to the person who's previous to him, so as the Gemara said a moment ago, then you could have 100 people saying ani. So why is our Mishnah limiting itself to just two vanis? Listening tuva. The Mishnah could have mentioned many times vani. So the Taisus Rid learns the Gemara on a very lumdish way. He says as follows. This question is not a question of Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda already told us at the beginning of our shir, Tana ki ruchla, does the Tana just say the word vani and repeat it and repeat it? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that already explained that that's not the style of the Tana, there's no way to ask this question. Why didn't the Mishnah say vani 100 times? Rabbi Yehuda already told us that the Mishnah doesn't do that. But we never heard Rish Lakish articulate such an opinion. So the Gemara here in the Havamina says the Taisus Rid is learning that there is no such concept that the Tana limits saying the word vani. If that's the case, so why didn't the Mishnah say vani many times to prove that the person's connecting himself to the first person? That says the Gemara. Rish Lakish also accepts Rabbi Yehuda's concept of Tana ki ruchlo lech shevelezel, that the Tana doesn't mention the same word over and over again. Says the Gemara, the same question as we had before. If the Tana is trying to be sparing in the words he uses, v'lishni chad, v'lishni kulam, if we're only going to say it, if we want to be limited to say it once, don't even say it twice, answers the Gemara. I did the Tani, because we learned the case in the Mishnah, huta arishin, if the first person's nether was annulled, huta kulan, then all the other people's nadarim fall along with it. However, huta achron, ha'achron muta v'kulan asorin, so if you use kulan, the mechadik emtsoi, there must be more than one individual. The shemachik tani vani vani, to reflect that the minimum three individuals who are part of this episode are all reflected in the Mishnah. Toshma, so the Gemara attempts another answer to this question. It said in the Mishnah, huta arishin, huta kulan, that if the first person said a neder, all the other people's nadarm also are released. So we see, Rishin Hu Dishari, it's only if the first one's nether is released, then everybody else's nether is released. Ho Em Tsoi, but if somebody after the first person made a nether, had his nether released, Loi, then that won't affect the latter speakers. So let's understand what happened here. We had a situation where I said Hareni Nozer. The second person said vani, then the third person said vani. So the Mishnah is teaching us at this point of the Gemara that if I, the first speaker, had my nether annulled, so everyone else's nedarim fall. But if the second person, let's say, had his nether annulled, it seems that the Mishnah is teaching us that only he has his nether released, but the third individual, his nether will not be released. Why? It must be because the Mishnah holds that the third person did not connect himself to the previous one, but rather connected himself to me. And as long as my Nazira stands, his Nazira stands. So is it not a clear raya that everybody connects themselves to the first individual? Shmami no, b'kama mitvasin. Answers the Gemara, Eimelach l'oilom chad b'chavri mitvas. Everybody connects himself to the previous speaker. So I did the Bali Misni Hutri Kula. We want to speak about a case where everybody's nether is released. Then Taniyam Tsoi Ikarishin the Loi Mystery. Because if the Mishnah would give us an example where the second person's nether was released, that's not an example where everyone's nadarm are released. Because let's say the second person had his nether released, everybody would agree that the first person's Naziris remains. That's why the Mishnah chose an example where the first person's nether was released, and that's the example that the Mishnah gives where everyone's nether will be released. But it could well be that a person connects himself, and the Mishnah wanted to give us an example where everybody's Nazirus will fall, but indeed, it could be Chad B'Chavrei Metzvus. Toshma, Hota Achren, if the last person had his nether released, Ha'achren Mutar V'Kulan Asurin. Only the last person's nether is released, no one else's. Deloy, why? Because Deloy Ikach Rana Basrei, because there's nobody after him. So his nether doesn't affect anybody. Avol and Tsoi Dika Achrina Basrei. In a case where person number two had his nether released, Mishtri, then the nether is released. Shmamino, Chad B'Chavrei Mitzvus. Obviously, everybody's connected to the previous person. Otherwise, why is the Mishnah giving us this example? Says the Marla Olam, Eimelach B'Kamim Mitzvusin. I will tell you the way to understand the Mishnah is that everybody connects themselves to the first individual. Or my Achron Diktani, what's the Mishnah mean when it says the word Achron? It doesn't mean the last individual. On the contrary, the Mishnah means the middle person. My Achron Diktani, I'm Tsoi. The Mishnah, it means the last person, the middle person. And the Mishnah is teaching us just the opposite then. That if the middle person has his nether annulled, it will not affect the later people. Because they connected themselves to the first person, not to the second person. So why do you use the word Achron? Use the word Emtsoi. Isn't that use the proper terminology? Says the Gemara, I did Tani Rishon, because the Mishnah wants to use the word Rishon, so the consistent word with Rishon is Tana Achron, the Mishnah uses the word Achron. And I saw the Rishash says that this concept, that the word Achron doesn't necessarily mean final, the middle person could also be considered Achron. We have a proof from the Torah. It says, when Yaakov and the Imaz and the Shvatim met Esav, it says first it was the Shvachis and their children, the Yosem Leah Ubaneh Achronim, the Yosef Arachel. So Leah and her children were in the middle, and yet they're called Achron. This is also a proof to the Gaboyim that could give more than one Achron by Kriyas HaTorah. Toshma, the Tanya Behedja, there's an open Braisa. We learned in the Masechta and the Nedarim. Hotra Arishon, Hotra Kulon. If the first person has his nether annulled, again, a similar situation where somebody made a nether and then a series of individuals said Vani Vani, so the Aloch is Hotra Arishon, Hotra Kulon. If the first person's nether falls, everybody else's nether falls with it. Hota Achron, if the last person in the line has his nether annulled, Ha'achron Mutar V'Kulon Asurim. Hotar Emtsoi, if somebody in the middle has his nether or Nazirus annulled, Himenu Lamata, anybody who follows him, Mutar. Himenu Lamala, anybody who precedes him, Asur. Shema Mino, Chad B'Chadrei Metzvus, everybody connects themselves to the previous individual, not back to the first person, Shema Mino. So the Truman Sadeshin asks a wonderful question. He says, we need to understand our Gemara. I guess the people who learned Daf Yomi could really appreciate the Truman Sadeshin's question. He says, this was a Mishnah that we just learned in Masechet Nedarim. So how, we just finished learning an Amud Gemara, back and forth. Anybody who remembers the Mishnah Masechet Nedarim, I hope we all remember it, know the answer to the question. It's an explicit Mishnah that teaches us that everybody connects themselves to the person previous to them. Why does the Gemara have a question? What is the Gemara's question? How could there be two sides to the Shaila even? Says the Truman Sadeshin. This you really have to remember Masechet Nedarim. When we learned Masechet Nedarim, there was a Shaila in the Gemara. Is this part of a Mishnah or is this only a Braisa? He says, from here we have a proof that it's a Braisa. Because in Shas, there's the following rule. A Gemara can't ask a question. To ask a question which is clearly answered in a Mishnah is unacceptable, because everybody knew all the Mishnayos. To ask a question whose answer is only found in a Braisa is acceptable, because not everybody was aware of every Braisa. From here, says the Truman Sadeshin, we have a clear raya that this is only a Braisa, and that's why the person who asked the question was unaware of the Braisa, until the Gemara taught him this Braisa that clearly answers the question. So as we learn this Gemara, we think to ourselves that this is not really that relevant to us. Who makes themselves a Nazir today? we learned the Masech the Dorm, you shouldn't say in the Dorim. And if you make say in the Dorm, the chances that somebody hears and says Vani are quite remote. So where is this relevant to us? So I saw that the Pais can discuss a very interesting Shaila. We all know there's a very simple concept of Shemei Ka'ina. So if I want to drink a cup of soda, and I make a Shahakal, and you also want to drink a cup of soda, I say Shahakal Ni Abedvarai, you say Amen. Even the Amen is not necessarily Ma'akev essential. But certainly if you say Amen, Shemei Ka'ina, you don't have to make the bracha. We also know the halacha is that if somebody makes a bracha and he's mafsik between the bracha and doing the act, in other words, you made the bracha on the cup of soda, and instead of taking a sip of the soda, you speak in between the bracha and taking the drink, you have to say the bracha over again. So what would be the halacha the Paiskim discuss? Many Paiskim discuss this shayla, where I made a shahakal, and you were relying on my shahakal, and I spoke out after I made the shahakal, so my bracha now became disqualified. Does it affect you that you also now have a problem? Or you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't speak out. And you relied on my bracha and it's fine. Interesting shaila. The Prima Gadim says the fact that I have to make a bracha again has no effect on you. You didn't do anything wrong. Because the Prima Gadim learns that what does Shemei Ka'ina say? Shemei Ka'ina doesn't say that you were relying on my bracha. Shemei Ka'ina, says the Prima Gadim, says, it's as if you made the bracha yourself. And you made the bracha, and you didn't speak, and you're in perfect shape. But many Paiskim disagree with the Prima Gadim, and they say that this is certainly a very serious shaila. Are you relying on me? And if my bracha falls, your bracha falls along with it, or doesn't it? The Paiskim say from our Gemara, it seems that everybody's connected, the Kama Mitzvahs. And therefore, if his nether is annulled, it affects the later speaker. And it should be the same by brachas. And therefore, the Mishnah Brewer says, when somebody is faced with such a shaila, the suffix brachas, he shouldn't make the bracha over again, because maybe we follow the Prima Gadim. What he should do is, he should look for somebody else who needs to take a drink of soda, have him make a bracha, and rely on that person's bracha. Continues the Gemara. Hareni Nozer. If somebody made it, we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody made a declaration already nazar, v'shama chaveri v'omar, and the next person said, pi kapiv, v'sari kasaroi, my mouth should be like his mouth, my hair should be like his hair. It's an effective way of becoming a nazar. Ask the Gemara, v'shum da'omar pi kapiv, v'sari kasaroi, just because he made this statement, harei nazar, is he a nazar? V'reminu. We're going to learn, the Gemara says, if somebody says, yodai nazira, my hand should make me into a nazir. Ragli lanzira, or my foot. Dalach is, loyam aklum. It's a meaningless statement. However, if somebody said, roshi nazira, kvedi nazira, naziris is tied to my head, naziris is tied to my liver, since, as the Gemara will explain, these are organs, shanashama tluyba, they're essential for life, dalach is, hareza nazir. Zeklal, this is the rule. Davishashama tluyba, if I said it, and I connect it to an organ that's essential for living, hareza nazir. So now the Gemara asks, if that's the din, so how could our Mishnah say, mouth, hair certainly is not an organ that you need, is something that you need to survive. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Yasu pi kafiv miyayin. The person who said pi kafiv didn't mean that he's tying his naziris to his mouth. He's tying his naziris to his hair. You are a nazir. And I say my mouth should be like your mouth. Just like your mouth can't drink wine because you're a nazir, my mouth may not either. The sari kasaroi, just like you may not cut your hair, I shouldn't be allowed to cut the hair. There's a machlokes rishonim. How much of a statement must I make? Is it adequate if I say pi kafiv, that you're a nazir, and I say pi kafiv, and that's enough to make me a nazir? Or there are other rishonim that say that in order for this to be a valid declaration of naziris, I have to say pi kafiv miyayin. Sari misaroi logus. Without the yayin and logus, it's not enough. There's another interesting shaila. We learned many times in our Masechta the opinion of Rav Shimon, where Rav Shimon says, Dak to daf gimel amud beis, that if somebody accepted Nazirus upon himself by just articulating one of the deer that he's going to be subject to one of the rules of a Nazir, he accepted he's just not going to drink wine, he's not going to take a haircut. So the Rav Shimon says that's not an acceptable way of becoming a Nazir. Can't just take on one din. So the Mefarshim asks why somebody saying pi kafiv is enough to be an acceptable way of being a Nazir. Isn't there only one din of Naziris? So the Mefarshim say as follows. In a case, according to Rav Shimon, where somebody clearly said that he's only interested in accepting one element of Naziris, so Rav Shimon says that's not an acceptable manner. Pi kafiv doesn't mean that he only means wine. It's just Yodis Naziris. He maybe didn't explain himself as explicitly and as clearly as he ought to have, but certainly it means the all the dinim of Naziris, and therefore even Rav Shimon will agree it's a valid declaration of Naziris. Says the, we learned in the Mishnah, if a woman said Harani Nazira, Visham Abala V'Amma Ani, her husband said Vani, I too, Eni Yochel Haifa. Ask the Gemara, Ibai Lahu, Ba'al Me'eka Oker, Adama Megas Gaius. The Gemara asks a very fundamental shaila. When a husband annuls, says Hafara to his wife's Naziris, what does that mean? Does it mean that he completely uproots the Naziris? Or does it mean that he only affects it moving forward? Lamai Naftamina. Ask the Gemara, what's the Naftamina? Lisha Shinodra Benazar. If a woman accepted upon herself Naziris, and her friend heard her say she's an accepted a self Naziris, and she says Vani, and then it turns out that the first Naziris falls. If we say that the first Naziris is completely annulled, as if it was never said, since as we just learned in the previous Gemara, a person can connect his Naziris to the previous Naziris. If the first Naziris falls, the second Naziris falls along with it. However, e amrit megas gaius, we say that it only works moving forward, but doesn't retroactively affect the naziris. E ishteroi, only her naziris will be affected, but she was at one point a nazira. She was a nazira until her husband released her. And therefore, it won't affect the second person who said vani chaverta asira. Or, there are other nafkaminas, which we're going to discuss much more in the next year. The shailas are this. Let's say a woman made herself a nazir today. We know that a husband is only made for the naziris, the neder, the b'yayim shamay. The husband only heard about it 2 weeks later. So during this 2 weeks, she was a nazira. And what happens if during this 2 weeks she drank wine, she took a haircut, she became tamei, and then the husband is made for the naziris? If we say that he retroactively is made for the naziris, so even though she did the wrong thing, as we're going to learn in the Gemara in Mitzvah Shemon Daf Chaf Gimel, she, Lemaisa, didn't do anything wrong, because she wasn't, at the end of the day, a Nazira. If, on the other hand, the husband is only Megas Gaius, then, till the husband was made for the Neder, the Naziris, she was certainly a Nazira, and therefore when she did drink the wine or take the haircut or etc., she certainly did something wrong for which she has to bring a carbon or get malchus, whatever the situation should not be. So the Achrayim, the Brisker Rav, the very famous Brisker Rav on this Gemara, asked the following shaila. When we learned Masechta Nedarim, we learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah was very clear in teaching us this thing, that if a husband uses the word mutter, it won't be an effective annulment. If a bezdin uses the word mufar, with a pay, it's also not effective. Because these are two very different concepts. Hatara is annulment, which is the power of a bezdin or a rav. Hafara is release, if you want to use English translation, which is within the power of a husband, a father. And we learned that these are two very distinct halachic concepts that can't be and should not be confused. So the Brisker Rav asks, Hatara we know is mi'akar akar. It annuls the nether as if it was never said. Why? Because as we explained so many times, Masechta Nedarim, what does a Torah mean? That the person who made the nether approaches the Rav and says, I didn't recognize the repercussions, the consequences, a Pesach, a Charata, and he turns it into a mistake, as if it was never said. Hafara, there was no mistake. She knew what she was doing. Just the Torah gives a certain authority to a father. The Torah gives a certain authority to a husband. So how can we ask what Hafara is? Says the Brisker Rav. There's a very fundamental difference in lumdus, which affects din, between Atar and Afar. He says, even if we'll hold, and the Gemara is going to go back and forth into tomorrow's Shir Mitzvah Stol, what is the din? Is it Atar? Is it Mi'ekar Okra, Mi'egis Gaius? He says, we can't compare, if we learn Mi'ekar Okra, the power of a husband to the power of a Bezdin. The power of a Bezdin, says the Brisker Rav, is to make that the nether was never said. It never happened. Me'ekar Okra, this never happened. Even if we'll learn that the husband has the power of me'ekar Okra, of uprooting the Naziris from the beginning, and that's why, as we just learned, even if she drank wine or took a haircut in the interim period from when she said the Naziris until the husband was made for it, she wouldn't be punished for it, still, it doesn't make as if nothing ever happened. Something happened. And that always will be the din, even if the husband's me'ekar Okra. In the yeshivish terminology, it's called mikanu lahabel mafreya, says the Gemara. Toshma. We learned in Mishnah, if somebody said, hareini nazira, v'shama balavam vani, her husband heard her say it. And the husband said, vani, eni yachal hatar. Why? As we learned in the Mishnah. Because if the husband is made for the nether, it turns out he's connecting himself to Har Naziris. And if Har Naziris falls, his Naziris falls. And the aloch is that somebody can release his wife, but he can't release himself. So that's why the Mishnah says that if Har Naziris falls, in this case he could not be made for Har Naziris. Ask the Gemara, V'sakadaitach, Baal Megas Gais. If we're going to learn that all the husband has the power to do is to move forward, not backwards, leifelishta, so it should only affect her for who lits her, because she was a nazira for that period until he was mefer. Elalav, shmamino, shouldn't this be a proof that Baal maker occur, that the husband uproots the naziris altogether, and that's why we could understand the din of the Mishnah that says that the husband shouldn't be made for this Naziris, because if he's going to be made for this Naziris, he will also be made for his own Naziris, which a person doesn't have the ability to do. Says the Gemara, Loi lemegas gais. Really, we could suggest that all the husband accomplishes is just that he moves forward, not retroactively. But didn't who the life lay? So if so, he should be allowed to be made for it. V'hainu tam the loi matzim made for. Why does the Mishnah teach us that he may not? Not because his Naziris will fall, and you can't be made for your own Naziris. For a different reason altogether. Kivin amalei vani, if a woman said hareni nazir, hareni nazira, and a husband said vani. So when we learned Masechta Nedarim, we learned that the Torah tells us that as soon as the husband is mekayim, as soon as the husband confirms his wife's nether, then he could no longer be made for it, even if it's b'yayim shamay, even if it's the day he heard the nether. So here, says the Gemara, if a husband said the word vani, it's command amakayim l'chidami. It's as if he confirmed the nether. And therefore, he can't be made for hanaziris. Because you can't be made for a nether that you already confirmed. Therefore, we have a new halacha l'maisa. What must he do? Imitchel akamosa motzi mefer. What he needs to do is, since he confirmed the nether, or the Naziris in our situation, we learned the Masechta Nedarim that there is ability to have that Hakama annulled, and that's what he has to do. First have that Hakama annulled, and then he could have the original Naziris, he could be made for the original Naziris. So it's a two-step process. Even though normally a husband has the ability just to be made for, and that's enough, here he's going to have to go through the two steps. Because Eloi, like Matzi Mefer, if not, he can't be Mefer because it's already confirmed, and the nether that's confirmed can no longer be annulled. Tashma, he's Shinajib Nazir. And the Isha accepted upon herself a Naziris. Firfisha is Behemta. We know that a Nazir has to bring a series of Kabonis when they finish the Naziris. A Chatas, an Oilo, and a Shlomim. Vakach Hefel Abala. And then the husband was made for the Naziris. Im Shaloi Haisa Behema. If the animal belonged to the husband, the submission we're going to learn in Daf Chaf Dalet. Hachatas Thomas. Taitzav Tirbeida. So the animals, the hegdish was done in error, and the animals could go back to the flock. Vim shalai sabahema. However, if the animal belonged to her, and the Mefarshim discussed how could a wife own her own animals? Kamashikansiishikanabala. So Mefarshim explained it's referring to a situation that the behemoths, the animals were given to her with the express condition that she could use it, that they should be hers, and her husband should not have any authority over them. And the Mefarshim go on to say, interesting din, because we have this concept many places in Shas, that when somebody gives a wife something with that condition, he has to be explicit in saying what, that she's going to use it for specific purpose. As in our Gemara, he has to say you're going to use it for Kabban Naziris. The Alochi is Achatas Thomas. She has to let the animal die. Says the Gemara, Visaka, Daitach Baalmaker, Ocker, that the husband uproots the Naziris as if it was never said. So this was never Achatas. Why Tape Glechulin? Elaf, if we see that it does have a vestige of Kedusha, Shema Muna, Baal Megas Gais. Said the Gemara, Loilam Aimelach Baal Meka Akar. The Hainu Tama, what's the reason? We're going to learn the Gears of the Bach. Kivin the Tzricha Kapara, since she did do something wrong, as we learned earlier in the Besechta, because Rebbe Elazar Kfar tells us that a woman, anyone should not accept the Naziris. Should sear atzmim in a yayin. Why are they not enjoying the wine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to have? Have a kachatash mesa bala. If she does need some sort of a kapara, albeit not a full kapara. So it's like a person who was supposed to bring a kamachatas, and he segregated an animal. And before he could actually bring it, he passes away. The comedian does alocha meshma sinai, the kachatash mesa, because he already has a kapara with his death. The Gedmiri, the Chatash Mesebala Thomas, here too, since her husband was made for the Naziris, it's as if she has a kapara, and she doesn't have to bring the Chatas, but on the other hand, it's not considered totally as if it was never come a Chatas, and that's why it should be left to die.
Thank you.
I never saw
Yisrael in my life.
You never saw?
Never saw Yisrael in my day.